Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message by our guest speaker. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Are you guys ready? Come on. We had a really cool conversation this last week, and Savannah was kind of sharing some thoughts and stuff, and it kind of got me thinking. I want to share something this morning that's really practical and really simple, but it actually is like difficult to walk out. Is that okay? Okay. The reality is that we live in an environment, this house is pursuing revival, right? Every week we come in here, there's like this chance and this opportunity where we worship God, we can encounter his presence. You know, you could get a prophetic word, you could see somebody get healed. The last few weeks in worship have been explosive. It's been so fun, so amazing. You know, how many of you guys can think back on a time where you had a moment with God like that, whether it's here in a life group or just at a different event or something, right? And there's this thing that happens where you encounter God's presence, and it's like, oh my goodness. And the question, I remember getting asked a lot, like back in the early renewal days, and we're laughing, and there's people rolling on the ground, and all sorts of like just chaos happening, and people are like, so what's the fruit of it? And I remember being like 19, 20 years old and just being like, I don't know, but I love Jesus a lot, a lot, a lot. And there was actually something that really profound that began to take place in my life in that season. And one of the things that we forget, we talk about this place of encounter with God, and out of a place of encounter, there's something that takes place in our life, and we begin to experience this thing of transformation, right? You see God, you encounter his presence, and then you begin to be transformed. And out of that place of transformation, you begin to step into a zone where you get to share and spread that transformation and bring transformation to people around you. Come on. Right now, I'm going to preach that message till the day is long. Like, I will not change the subject. You encounter God, you're transformed, and you bring transformation to culture. But there's something that we don't often talk about, and it's this little gap between an encounter and a transformed life. And from a transformed life to bringing transformation. There's this little gap, this little transition that takes place. Anyone that does public speaking knows that the hardest piece to dial in is your transitions. Come on. Anyone can preach point A or share point A. You can preach point B, but how many of you know you're sharing in your life group, or you're preaching a message or something, and you get done sharing something, and then you're like, how do they connect? Shoot. And you're in that moment, you're like, these are both really important, but I forgot to like, right? And there's like this bit of a hang-up. Well, our life oftentimes can feel like that if we don't understand what's required to transition from a place of encounter into actually walking out transformation. You know, sometimes in our culture where we have this revival culture, we have this priority on the presence of God, that we forget there's this such incredible times in his presence, and there's these moments where it's like a light switch gets flipped and there's like immediate transformation. If this is going to keep ringing, I can change microphones. I just need to know if it's going to. There's this place of immediate transformation that in our life, right? I've seen it happen. I've seen incredible miracles. I've seen people like suffering from crazy addictions. And in a moment with God, it's like it's completely wiped out. It's gone. Do you know what I'm saying? But not all of life is that way. And oftentimes when we build a perspective that is the only way transformation takes place, we actually steward an immature and childish perspective in our life and in our walk with God. Come on, everybody in here that has kids is gonna know this. Like you get that 2-year-old, 3-year-old that's at the table and they're like, Mommy, I'm thirsty, right? And what do? You're like, oh, let me get you some water, right? Yeah, you know, like, Daddy, I'm really hungry, I'm hungry. Like, oh, we're gonna eat in a little bit, but I'm hungry. Like, oh no, dinner's coming soon. But I'm hungry, you know, and there's like this thing, right? And you're like, well, what are you going to do about it? I'm telling you, that's what I'm going to do about it. I'm telling you that I'm hungry because you bring me food when I'm hungry. Do you know what I'm talking about? Very normal for a 2 and 3 year old. Pretty young with most of my kids. It doesn't always work, all right? It doesn't always work. But oftentimes they'll say, like, Dad, I'm hungry. And I'll say, okay, so what are you going to do about it? Right? And sometimes it's as simple as, like, can you get me some water? Absolutely. Absolutely, I can get you some water. Because I want to help them transition from just declaring a need into the ethos to, like, actually being able to verbalize and communicate, hey, can you help me with this? You know, it's like, no, actually, you're 8. You're more than capable of getting a cup, turning on a faucet, filling it only halfway so you don't spill it when you come back to the table, right? Only halfway, and then you can totally handle this, right? You know, my parents are visiting right now. Could you imagine me, 37 years old? My parents are visiting, and I go up, and I'm like, Dad, I'm really hungry. I'm hungry, Dad. Dad, I'm hungry. Like, I don't do that. You be quiet, Tim. Wouldn't that be so ridiculous? We're all in here, like, all laughing because it's so out of place. But how often do you treat your relationship with God in that same way? You come in on a Sunday morning and you're like, God, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. And it's not that there's not a place to verbalize and to be vulnerable before God, but to think that there's this magic wand that gets waved over your life and all of your problems vanish is to live in immaturity. Paul said it this way, I wish I could feed you meat, but because of your immaturity, I've got to give you milk from the word. We're called kings and priests. Little children don't rule. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, little children aren't put in a position of authority and rulership. You want to walk in authority in your life? Well, there's a level of responsibility that is required from you to begin to make choices that reflect your value system. Come on, you guys hear me this morning. Come on, I want to read you this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. This is one of my favorite passages, honestly, in the Bible. You've heard me quote it. I say it all the time. I've probably used it in a message at some point. I love this verse. It says this, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, this is the veil that Paul is talking about is the veil that was brought when Moses established the Ten Commandments and the law. What happened was, as an understanding and realization of sin, all of a sudden there's a veil, a thing of separation between you and the glory of God. Are you guys hearing me? Because in the simplest act, the smallest sin you can think of can't stay in the presence of God. He's perfection, glory, holiness. And that veil separates you from his presence. And so what Paul is writing is that is the old covenant. The new is that Jesus has come. Anyone in. This is what it says. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. It says, obviously, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, that is good news. What happens is when you have an encounter with God, when you step into this place, whether it's in worship, whether it's you're in the front getting prayer, whether it's in a life group or just sitting in your kitchen counter having a conversation with someone, when you begin to feel the glory of God, when you step into that place, you are seeing an image of something God is doing in your life and bringing transformation in your life from glory to glory to glory. Encounters with God is meant to bring transformation in your life. It is not just to give you a warm fuzzy and to sort of give you like that good feeling to get you on until the next Sunday. It is meant to bring change and transformation in your life. Come on. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. This is the story where King David has died and Solomon is becoming king. How many of you guys are familiar with this? Solomon, right, he goes to sleep, he has this dream, and God shows up to him in his dream, and he says, what do you want? I'll give you anything. I'll give you everything, whatever it is that you want. What's in your heart? And I want to read to you the response that Solomon gives to God in this moment. It says this, therefore, give to your servant, this is Solomon speaking, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your word. See, I will give you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be any like you that will arise afterwards. I want us to look at this word, an understanding heart, that Solomon asked for. And it's really, really interesting. He asked for an understanding heart, and God gives him wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is that practical application of knowledge and understanding, right? How, like, the truth of God's word actually works and applies. Wisdom, wise decision-making. But Solomon didn't ask for wisdom, he asked for an understanding heart. Now I want you to look at this word. This is actually really important to notice, is the word in Hebrew is shama. It kind of sounds like you're speaking in tongues. Shama, shama, hey, show. All right, sorry guys. Shama, the word actually means to hear, listen to obey. What Solomon is asking for in this verse is he's asking for a listening heart. Do you hear me this morning? Solomon is asking for a understanding heart. He's asking for a listening heart to hear and to obey. The implications of this word isn't just like you're listening to music or listening to an opinion someone has. It's a posture that says, I'm ready to learn to actually do what I'm listening to. Are you hearing me? There's an attitude in our heart that says, God, I'm willing to hear what you have to say, not just to feel good, but to actually make different choices. To actually walk out what it is I'm hearing from you. God, give me a listening heart. What's powerful about this is in that exchange, God hears and he says, yes, I'm going to give you wisdom. The result of a listening heart is wisdom in your life. Wisdom. See, the process of encounter with God, when we talk about a transformed life, is that you're in this place of encounter. Why? So you can learn what God's voice sounds like. You can see his beauty. You can see his nature. You begin to dwell on that. You think about it. It's like, wow, I know what you sound like, God. I know the tone of your voice. I know how you speak to me. I know the promptings and the leadings in my heart. Why? So that when you walk out and you're in a situation, your heart's postured to hear his voice talk to you. You can recognize the sound of his voice when he begins to speak to you through your wife or your husband. Bless God. You can hear his voice when you happen to just open the Bible and you're kind of reading through a verse and all of a sudden something grabs your attention. And it's not just to feel good that you heard his voice, it's that you're posturing your heart. Oh, I heard you. That's wisdom. I'm going to do what you're saying. See, it's this heart that says, God, you can speak to me in any situation through any package that it comes in. That really annoying person that you don't really want to listen to, man, there's a moment where God's going to speak wisdom through them into your life. And it will be up to the heart that you've developed to hear his word in your life. Now, I'm telling you what, there's been moments I've been in a conversation with someone where I was literally, come on, everyone, y'all going to act all righteous on this one, but I know you've done this, where you're like, okay, just kind of like waiting to get out of the conversation to move on. Come on, how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Thank you for those few honest hands in there. All right. You're in that zone and I'm just like, oh God, like, all right, yes, good, awesome. And there's this moment and the Holy Spirit grabs my heart and there's something that says, pay attention. pay attention. The Holy Spirit is speaking right now. And there's something in my heart that's like, okay. And all of a sudden I'm listening. Why? Because I begin to hear the voice of God through this package that I may not like or prefer. See, and it's not just that you're listening. You see, I do this a lot, actually. I'm very guilty of this, just to be real with you. I'm very stubborn and opinionated, if you haven't already been able to tell. Very much so. I'm confident in my opinions. Whether they are right or wrong, they are right, all right? Until someone tells me otherwise. But, you know, it's like the sort of thing where I'm like, hey, babe, what shirt should I wear, this one or this one? And she's like, this one. I'm like, great, I'm going to wear this one. Like, so much, it's a running joke where it's almost like, I just need you to eliminate one of these options. Thank you. Okay, good, I got this one. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a difference to listening to advice where you're kind of like, that's some good advice. Wow, I could see that. That makes sense. All right, I'm just going to do this anyways. How many guys, come on, you know you've done that. Somebody takes the time to share something with you, and you're kind of like, that sounds good. Yeah, kind of want to do my own thing. It's not that you have to take all advice that's given to you, but you need to learn to posture your heart that says, God, I don't know everything, and I'm listening for your direction. I'm listening to your voice. I'm stewarding this relationship with you that I can catch that moment with you. I can hear your prompting. See, in Luke 16:13, this is where it says, right? He's going to give you, this is Jesus speaking, he says, I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth, and he will lead you into all truth, into all understanding. See, there's this thing, we don't have to have the answer to every situation. We don't have to have the solution to how to bring transformation to culture, or how to bring a shift to an environment at your work, or family dynamics, or parenting situations. What you need is a listening heart that says, man, I'm pressed in. When I feel your prompting, I'm going to catch that. I'm going to pay attention, because in a moment you could be speaking and I'm ready to grab hold of it and engage with what you're saying. Are you guys tracking with me? A listening ear with a heart to obey is the secret to a transformed life. Come on, I'm going to say that again. A listening ear with the heart to obey, what that really is a listening heart, is the secret to a transformed life. It's that moment where you spend time in God's presence and you walk out and you're like, I'm not quite sure how all of this works or applies in my life, but I'm going to listen. And you step into life and you're listening to that prompting, that leading of his presence. Are you guys tracking with me? Is that okay? Awesome. Come on, this is that picture of humility, of surrender. When we talk about having a surrendered heart to God, this is actually what that is. Come on now. All right, we're going to shift gears just slightly. Is that okay? Okay, I'm going to tag Savannah in. She can take over. I was about to, sorry, wrestling. There you go. Boom. I mean.
No, that's so good. I just was reminded as he was speaking, just those times in our life where we've been given like prophetic words, or we've had encounters, or we've heard the voice of the Lord in our life, or even just reading the scripture and so many promises that he has for us as believers. That's like, okay, I'm in that encounter, I experience it, I have that open heart, that soft, willing heart to receive it. But then there's usually a process. Sometimes we have prophetic words that feel like really far away, and especially right now it feels like, how on earth is this going to play out? Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? But you guys, we serve the God that parts waters, and in a moment things can shift, where waters are parted, where giants fall down, right? Like, that is who we serve. Not the news, not the way things are right now, but we get to partner with this heart. But part of that is, like, I want you to think about some of the prophetic words in your life that you've been given that, like, oh man, I love that. But sometimes there can be elements of it that feel like painful. Like, I don't know how to get there, right? But as we even surrender it back to the Lord. Like, okay, God, I don't know exactly what to do, but I trust you with this, and I hand it back to you. And so now I feel like that allows my heart and my hands to be open to receive the direction that he has me going in. When something is stirring in my heart, I'm like, oh man, I need to press into that. I need to look into that. And I begin to pursue him in a deeper way. And you guys, like, I have some words that I've been like treasuring in my heart for a decade, 15 years, right? Where I'm reading it again, I'm treasuring it. I'm pursuing, doing what I know to do, like in terms of like, okay, maybe in school I'll go this direction or I'll take this training, and just trusting the Lord with this part of who I am, this part of who he's called me to be, and trusting with it. And I feel like in those moments when I've been able to have my heart open and listening to his direction and to his voice, you guys, recently, like a week ago, we had guests here, and something was said, and it was like, in that moment, like, I just knew, like, oh my gosh, God's moving, God's doing something, I know exactly what to do, and it just clicks. And so you just never know that. If you're feeling weary, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling like, I don't know how to carry this, or I don't know how this is going to look, in a moment he can shift things. In a moment he can bring change, if our hearts are willing to receive it, right? And he's so faithful at, like, okay, usually there's like that identity piece, like, right, like Solomon, he was the king. He became king, and that's his identity. But in being willing, he was able to walk out that calling. So we know, a lot of times we know, like, what God is, we know in our heads what God has called us to be and who he's called us to be, but it doesn't always transfer to the heart, where it's really, we're actually making choices and doing things that are in line with our true identity. And so part of that is just like, yeah, continuing to have that listening heart, that open heart, and being willing. And then when he does direct you, the next part is to be obedient. That's hard, because it's scary. It's like, I don't want to go up there in the front to worship. I don't want to jump. Like, even in the small things, right? Like, the small things, when God's prompting, even in the small things, he's stirring your heart. Stop and listen to what your child's saying. Stop and listen to what that person's saying. Be still. No, I have something where to go. We're in a meeting. We have to do this. We have to do that. I have to do things, right? No, listen. When he's stirring your heart, listen and be still and be ready to obey and make that step, right? And then he promises to bring wisdom. That's such a good promise, right, you guys? Like, that's so that we are going to be victorious in every situation, that he's given us everything we need just by having that listening heart, right? And then walking out obedience. I love this as we're really, like, we're diving into, like, this idea of Solomon and that wisdom. If you think about the Proverbs, I was looking into it, and some of you might have already known this, but it was new for me when I was looking into it. The Proverbs were meant to be practical applications of walking out our life in Christ. Practical, like vernacular wisdom spoken by the ordinary person, common sense, right? Like, sometimes I think of, like, wisdom as this thing, like, oh, like, someday I'm going to have that. But when you step into, like, oh, all I need is a listening heart, okay, I have that. So he's going to give me what I need, even when I feel like I don't know what's going on. I can't tell you. Sometimes with the way things are right now, it just feels so crazy and scary. And it's like, nope, I'm just going to have a listening heart. I'm going to tune into him, into his direction, and he's going to give me everything I need. And he promises when we trust in him that he's going to direct our steps. So we get to trust him with that. So if you think about it too, the Proverbs, it's practical. It's actual steps of walking out this life with the Lord. And I want you to think about this, like, obviously for yourself, but as well in community, where we get to encourage each other. Hey, the Bible says run from that. So you better be running from that. You know what I mean? Like, encouraging each other, reminding each other, like, you guys, there's practical steps. If you're stuck in a negative attitude, do you know what powerful thankfulness is? It shifts the atmosphere. It brings heaven to earth. And that is such a practical thing, to begin to shift your heart and shift the atmosphere wherever you are. And so in doing this together in a community, but also, like, for us, like, just in the way that we're raising our kids, where it's like, I want to give them practical, like, functional tools, right? So I want them to know, God's speaking all the time. I want them to know when they lose their toy, they can actually ask Jesus where it is. You know what I mean? Including them in, like, we're praying for something. Let's believe for a miracle. Let's be talking about it. And then when the miracle comes, we get to celebrate in the testimony together. As a community, as a family, as husband and wife, right? We get to walk in this together. And ever since the kids were little, my gosh, like even 2 years old, Destin's asking them, hey, Jesus speaks to us in our dreams. Did you dream anything last night? What did you dream about, right? And then, so I'm here, and yesterday, Papa and Yaya are here. Dustin's mom has asked Adelie, and that's our three-year-old, and she's like, honey, what did you dream about? And I'm like, crazy, like, that's amazing. Where you think about, like, these practical things that we can walk out in, and you think it's just in this moment, but it affects the generations that come. The way we live, the way that we choose to walk this out in the practical sense will affect our children and our children's children. And our children. And no, I'm kidding. Well, it's a worship service right now. And even in those moments where, I was talking about it, like sometimes bedtime can be very challenging, to put it lightly, where it's like, okay, they want water. And they want to pray, and they want to tell you about their day, and they want to be tucked in, and they want a hug and a kiss. And if you forget something, if you forget one of those things, they're going to call you back into the room. Water, what? A story as well. No, yeah, I don't go, my goodness, no. But there was one time where the whole bedtime process went by, and as I'm leaving, my six-year-old is like, I'm feeling afraid. And I really just wanted to be like, nope. Tell it to leave. No, you know what I mean? Like, no, we're not doing that. And I just felt like the Lord was like, nope, you need to listen. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to. I want to leave them, you know. So I was able to, like, I went back in. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I think we had just watched something, and there was a bad guy in it. And she was describing, like, what she was afraid of. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's go ahead and invite Jesus into the room. And I told her, I was like, I want you to see with the eyes of your heart, right? I want you to see Jesus walk into the room. She's like, I do. He's sitting on my bed. I'm like, okay, awesome. And I was like, and I want you to go ahead and hand that bad guy over to Jesus and put it in his hands. And she's like, okay. You know, I'm like, okay, good. And I was like, how much bigger is Jesus than that bad guy? She's like, oh, my goodness. He's so much bigger. That bad guy's like a little ant. I'm like, okay, let's go ahead and just let Jesus smash it, you know? And in that moment of just redirecting her attention and fixing her eyes on Jesus, it was like, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's no room for fear. There's no room for anxiety when we shift our attention onto Jesus and how big he is compared to anything else, right? And so I'm able to give her these tools. And even recently, she walks in. I was getting ready, and she walks into the bathroom, and she's like, I feel like Jesus is singing a song over me. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so she's just kind of sitting there, and I'm like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like it's powerful just to sing it out. If you feel like God's saying something, then just sing it. And it was that song, You Are Good, right? You are good. I'm like, and I found out, oh, that song? Cool, that song. She's like, no, but it's this part. And she sings it out. I'm never gonna let you down. You guys know that song? Okay, but instead of the way we sing it is, you're never gonna let me down, she's singing, this is what Jesus is saying to me. I'm never going to let you down. And she's singing it, and I'm just like in the bathroom, like, yes, Jesus, you're never going to let us down, right? But it's those things, like, you guys, like, I know we're talking also in the context of community, but, like, think about your children, like, the tools that you're giving them in being in church, in going to kids' church, in being in youth group, and realizing there are other believers. There are other people that believe what I believe and that are fighting and pursuing for the presence of God in their home. So, raise your kids in church. Give them those tools, right? Like, so many times my kids have come back with, like, worship songs that have brought, like, breakthrough, right, in their lives, where it shifted things when they were afraid and brought that breakthrough. So those practical things to release to Jesus. There's also, if you think about these times in our life of transition, right, there's going to be times in our life where it is going to be harder to keep a listening ear, a softened heart. So especially in times of transition, right? Well, we recently experienced a time of transition, obviously, in moving here. That was a big one. But also, my sixth grader just went from kids' church to adult service, right? And I'm thinking, like, how do you make that transition? What are we going to do? This is a big jump, right? And kind of like just feeling worried and concerned about it. And one day we're driving to jiu-jitsu, and my map starts to take me down back roads that I just had never been on before. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. I'm verbalizing out loud, like, this is kind of weird. Like, I'm not really sure where we're going, but I think we're going to the right place, and feeling like nothing looks familiar. And Tristan, my sixth grader, he was like, well, remember what God said to Pastor Jamie? That story where he got off the freeway and the street that he ended up on said Hope Street, right? Hope Street. And I said, yeah. He's like, let's be looking at every single sign and see if God's trying to show us something, right? And I'm like, okay, first of all, he's listening. Awesome. You know, but then also, like, there's practical, like, he's expecting God to speak to him on literally every street, right? But, like, we get to do that. We get to start to, like, stir that up and give our kids the tools, give ourselves and each other in community the tools that we need, that practical wisdom. And I want you to think, like, I have lots of kid examples because I have a lot of them, or I feel like I do. Or I'm surrounded in kid life. But I want you to think about your spheres of influence, okay? The people that you are directly in contact with, that you have connection with, influence with, and think about, like, how can I keep my heart soft and tender towards people and towards the Lord and be able to hear his voice for them in my life, right? Not depending on maybe past circumstances or Enneagram numbers in terms of, like, how to relate to people, but, like, what if we actually just listen to the voice of the Lord about who people are and their identity because of what he says, and then the way that we see them just shifts. Like, it shifts, like, oh, man, I love you, and I want more for you, and I'm able to be, like, soft-hearted towards the Lord and towards people, and then allow him to guide and direct me in conversation, in speech, in wherever I'm at, because the God that knows everything and that created everything is with us. He's within us, and he's for us, and he has really practical ways of walking that out. Let's see. So I'm gonna go ahead and hand it over in just a minute, but I really felt like there was a connection. I feel like I'm gonna butcher this, but I feel like there was a connection between this idea of walking out this wisdom, of walking out these practical steps, and the revival that's happening, the move of God that's stirring and happening, and just this idea of being good stewards of what God's doing and how he's moving and what he's speaking. There's something about this practical walking it out that I feel like it will allow us to steward this move of God well. Right? A lot of times families get lost in the midst of revival, in the midst of things like, God's moving, right? But then, like, sometimes families get lost in that. I feel like that is not happening, that we get to walk together as a family, strong, in practical ways, and steward this revival well. And with Solomon, there were the kings, the people that saw from afar, and they could see God's glory because of what, in the simple things, in simple things that he would do, as well as big things, they could see God's glory. And I feel like that's going to be a sign for this region, for this church, of the wisdom of God, the glory of God that's going to shine through how we do things. Does that make sense? Can you fix that? Like, how we do things.
No, that's really good. What I want you guys to hear this morning is not just, like, an encouragement about that. Man, there's a sense of a prophetic call on this house. That, like, when Solomon stepped into this place of wisdom, that his practical decisions manifested the heart of God and God's nature. And that's where it says, like, where the Queen of Sheba is, like, there visiting, and she's like, oh my gosh, I can see the wisdom of God in the way that your servants wait on tables, and the way that the stair goes from the palace to the temple. She's like, there's this thing about when we step into this listening heart that we begin to actually manifest God's heart and nature in our families, in our decisions, in how we live life. And that is how, it's how revival and encounter services, crazy blowout stuff, it translates from here to our communities, to our families. I'm telling you, God is doing something now. And we get to partner with that, but it cannot be contained in a building. It, not that it doesn't have the ability to, it's that I'm saying we can't let it. We can't let it be trapped in a facility, in a building. It has to go out. It has to transform our families. It has to transform our cities. Are you hearing me this morning? Come on, there is a, I really feel that, like in this, that if you guys are ready to receive it, God is declaring over you that as you step into a listening heart, your life will begin to manifest God's glory and beauty in your families and in your jobs and in your communities. Come on, are you ready to receive that this morning? Can you guys stand up this morning? We're going to pray.